Welcome to this new detailed edition of the BayPay Forum Payments News. My name is Cindy and today is October 7, 2019. This edition is brought to you by Paycademy, the first business academy to learn payments and fintech. If you have some news in payments and fintech, send it to us at press@baypayforum.com and we will do our best to include your news. In this edition, we will talk about Razorpay raises over $18 million. Dubai Public Transport announced mobile payment option for 2020. Sohar International to offer eFlu's mobile payments to new merchants. Payments startup Paymongo secures $2.70 million from Silicon Valley investors. Belinvest Bank, the first bank in Belarus to go live on SWIFT's GPI service. More than 100 fintechs applied to participate in UK's Open Up 2020 challenge. Alight pulls virtual assistant tech into payroll. Hitachi Capital Business Finance launches smart funding ahead of Brexit. National Bank of Canada goes live with Murex Risk System. Citi's Commercial Bank taps Cantox for customized payments tech. Oak North appoints Google exec Sunil Chandra CEO, Platform Business. Hazeltree acquires ENSO from CME Group. California opens door for San Francisco Public Bank. NatWest trials UK's first biometric credit card. B2B fraudsters find new twists in old scam favorites. F1 Payments makes executive hires, forms advisory board. UK fintech Tide raises 44 meters in funding. T&E finds opportunity in API-first approach. NAV CEO, the state of SMB financing, a glimpse at its future. Now let's get started. Razorpay raises over $18 million. Razorpay, an online payments solution provider, has secured around $18.37 million from its US-based parent company Razorpay Inc. The investment has been made in order to facilitate Razorpay's next phase of growth in the digital payments industry of India as the fintech company plans to invest its bulk of capital. Razorpay has recently introduced 4 new products in the Indian market. These products lies in the areas of recurring payments, automation of bank transfers like NEFT, and invoice management. The B2B fintech startup Razorpay claims to have clocked in a growth rate of 15-20% month-on-month on the merchant count and is geared up to increase this to 450K this year. Dubai Public Transport announced mobile payment option for 2020. The Roads and Transport Authority has announced that commuters in Dubai will be able to pay for their journeys using their mobile phones from 2020. Used as an alternative to the traditional NOL card, the virtual NOL card will be available for use on the Dubai Metro. Once they download the card, users will simply tap their phones on electronic gates at metro stations to enter and exit. Commuters will also be able to purchase a new card or transfer their existing balance to the digital version. The virtual card will be linked to their bank account, enabling users to top up on the go. Following the initial rollout next year, passengers will also be able to use it to pay their fares on other modes of transport that include the Dubai Tram and RTA buses. They will also be able to use it to enter public parks and pay their parking fees, among other things. Sohar International to offer eFlu's mobile payments to new merchants. Sohar International has partnered with new business groups to offer mobile payment through eFlu's, the bank's mobile payment service, in partnership with Omantel. In a bid to strengthen its footprint in the mobile payment market in Oman, this expansion enables eFlu's users to make transactions for various products and services available across the country via mobile. The new agreements have been signed with Carrefour, Tim Hortons, Ajmal Perfumes, Argan Gold, Baskin Robbins, Cargeen, Begums, Lunar Cinema, Moorish, Oman Phones, Ravenna Kunafa, Cleopatra, Subway and Caribou Coffee. As per the agreements, the registered merchant groups will offer eFlu's as a payment mode at their various stores across Oman. eFlu's digital wallet is a mobile payment service that enables smartphone users to conduct transactions at any of the bank's partner merchants, as well as includes the feature of sending and receiving funds to and from other wallets. Payments startup Paymongo secures $2 million from Silicon Valley investors. Philippines-based payments startup Paymongo has secured a US$2.7 million funding from Silicon Valley investors, including PayPal co-founder Peter Thiel and digital company Stripe. Paymongo's seed round will be used for hiring, product development, business acquisitions and strategic partnerships. Moreover, the company aims to integrate all options to its platform including credit cards, e-wallets and cash. Paymongo has already partnered with several financial institutions, and its technology, including a payments API that Plaza says can be set up in minutes, is designed to be user-friendly. Because many online merchants in the Philippines sell through social media platforms and messaging apps, like Facebook, Instagram, Viber and WhatsApp, Paymongo also provides customizable payment links that they can send to customers. Belinvest Bank, the first bank in Belarus to go live on SWIFT's GPI service. Belinvest, one of the largest banks in Belarus, has become the first bank in the country to go live on SWIFT's Global Payments Innovation, GPI. With SWIFT GPI, the correspondent banking community, together with fintechs, corporates, and others, is collectively removing frictions and reducing the costs associated with cross-border payments. Since its launch in January 2017, GPI has improved the cross-border payments experience for corporates in over 1,100 country corridors. On average, 40% of SWIFT GPI payments are credited to end beneficiaries within 5 minutes. 50% are credited within 30 minutes, 75% within 6 hours, and almost 100% within 24 hours. Belinvest Bank has a vast regional network and is one of the biggest issuers of bank payment cards in the Republic of Belarus. More than 100 fintechs applied to participate in UK's Open Up 2020 challenge. More than 100 fintech companies have applied to participate in the UK's Open Up 2020 challenge. The companies will be competing to tap into the evolving open banking economy and a chance to win a £1.5 million prize fund. Managed by Nesta Challenges through a partnership with the Open Banking Implementation Entity, OBI, the Open Up competition is requesting local fintech companies to help the UK's residents in using open banking services. Recommended areas of investigation include current account comparison tools, ways to help account holders use overdraft services that are not managed by their banks, robo-financial management services, and micro-savings. A panel of judges from the Alan Turing Institute, Bank of England, Citizens Advice, and the OBI will select 15 finalists from 107 competition participants. Only 12 of the 15 finalists will receive £50,000 each. 3 to 4 winning teams will get £300,000 each and their products will be promoted through a national digital awareness campaign. Alight pulls virtual assistant tech into payroll. Payroll technology firm Alight Solutions is rolling out a virtual assistant to help payroll managers automate various tasks. In a press release late last week, Alight announced the launch of Eloise, its artificial intelligence AI-powered virtual assistant for payroll officials that aggregates and analyzes data. The analysis can be deployed to detect anomalies and reference past anomalies to guide payroll managers with future predictions. These features offer automated paycheck anomaly detection and correction, the company explained, allowing Eloise to analyze past payroll data to identify errors, correct them and make recommendations for payroll managers to make their own corrections. The technology also continuously audits payroll data to identify any potential inaccuracies from dropped files, calculation mishaps or human errors. Eloise can warn payroll managers of an anomaly in data entry and offers a digital checklist for payroll processors to promote accuracy and data insights. Employees can also review their own paycheck details before they are finalized. Eloise marks Alight's latest achievement in technology innovation that transforms the role of HR, said Alight Chief Solution and Strategy Officer Brannon Lacey in a statement. We're leveraging machine learning to automate time-intensive processes and create efficiencies that enable payroll processors to focus on higher-value matters and serve as strategic advisors, deepening the impact that HR can have on the business. Eloise is expected to roll out early next year, the company added. Virtual assistants are a growing technology not only in corporations, but also in corporate finance functions. Last month, corporate performance management software firm Profix debuted its virtual assistant, enabling finance managers to obtain insights and analytics to mitigate risk. Oracle similarly introduced its own virtual assistant for corporate supply chain managers with a focus on logistics task automation and oversight, while VMware, which develops digital workspace solutions, last month announced updates to its Workspace ONE platform, including the launch of a virtual assistant using IBM Watson technology. Hitachi Capital Business Finance launches smart funding ahead of Brexit. Hitachi Capital Business Finance announced the launch of its Smart Funding Payment Plan, which will allow small businesses to create their own repayment schedule in accordance with their cash flow forecast, as well as the seasonality of their business. The company noted that this is the first in a series of funding initiatives being released in the coming year. The Smart Funding Plan is available to sole traders and small businesses that have been trading for 3 or more years. Customers can set their own repayment schedule, anywhere between 2 to 5 years. There is also access to business funding for up to $500,000, $616,800, and a typical APR of 6.8%. In addition, customer service support is available to small businesses, as well as various smart funding business guides. The launch comes with Brexit just weeks away. Hitachi Capital's latest business barometer research found that UK small businesses were working hard to secure their growth during this uncertain time. And last month, research from Hitachi Capital UK found that late payments are costing small businesses an estimated $51.5 billion, $63.5 billion, with almost a third of SMBs, 31%, reporting that late payments have cost their business at least $10,000, $12,337 in the last 12 months. We have been supporting small businesses for 35 years and we understand the roller coaster of business life which, for many, has been exacerbated by the levels of economic uncertainty that have become the norm and is something we all have to adjust to, Gavin Raith-Carter, Managing Director at Hitachi Capital Business Finance, said in a press release. That's why at Hitachi Capital Business Finance we have adopted a new smart funding philosophy to our products and services. We recognize that no two businesses are the same and, in the current market climate, small business agility will be key to them seizing future growth, turning uncertainty into opportunity. National Bank of Canada goes live with Murex Risk System. National Bank of Canada (NBC) has successfully implemented and is now live on Murex MX.3 Risk and Regulatory Suite. NBC is leveraging the full power of the MX.3 platform for capital markets risk management and to meet its regulatory responsibilities, including compliance with Basel 2.5. NBC selected the MX.3 Risk and Regulatory Suite because of its native integration of front office and risk. Within one platform, the same pricing libraries are used by both traders and risk management teams, delivering accuracy and consistency across the organization. MX.3 is also enabling the bank to simplify the way it meets its regulatory obligations by applying the latest VAR and stress testing methodologies. Following the implementation, NBC now benefits from incremental scenario generation and the import of historical time series for newly traded instruments, wide risk factor coverage and increased automation of the correction process for trades and market data. Philippe Leduc, Senior Risk Manager at NBC, says, Murex has been a key technology partner for financial markets. We are pleased to have worked closely with their team to streamline our approach to market risk management infrastructures, data, and processes. In the long run, it means we have a flexible solution that allows us to simplify the market risk ecosystem and prepare ourselves for future initiatives. Speaking about the recent go-live, Norman Tanguay, head of Murex Canada, adds, as a result of this project, NBC is in a great position for FRTB compliance. Now that the pending questions have been answered by the regulator, it's clear that FRTB will have an undeniably large impact on the banking industry and early preparation is key. We are delighted to see the success of this project and look forward to working closely with NBC on future endeavors. Citi's Commercial Bank taps Cantox for customized payments tech. Cantox, a leader in FX management and payment solutions for businesses, announced today that it is providing Citi's commercial bank with a seamless user experience for its foreign exchange FX clients in the United States through a customized solution that connects directly to Citi's foreign currency payments platform. The software part of Citi's Dynamic Management Foreign Exchange DMFX initiative also provides treasury automation for local and cross-border payments in multiple currencies for corporate and commercial bank clients. As our clients' treasury needs continue to rapidly evolve, Citi is always looking to develop client-focused solutions that are thoughtful and forward-thinking to deliver on what clients crave in their day-to-day operations, said Citi's head of U.S. Commercial FX and Derivative Sales, Kyle Falcone. We look forward to offering our clients a seamless, technology-based FX and payment solution with the support of the Cantox team. Cantox CEO, Philippe Gellies, added, Citi is tech-minded and we see this partnership as further confirmation of a global trend of cooperation between banks and fintechs. Cantox is pleased to provide Citi with solutions that help to automate, ease IT burden and remove friction from the client experience. We look forward to working together. As part of the relationship, Citi and Cantox expect to expand the FX automation services available to Citi's corporate and commercial bank customers. Future offerings may include Cantox Micro Hedging Technology, Dynamic Hedging, which was recently named Best Risk Management Solution at the Treasury Management International Awards for Innovation and Excellence. The software, which was developed as part of Citi's D10X program, is currently being pilot tested with a select group of Citi's commercial clients in the United States, with plans to roll out the solution to a wider audience in 2020. OakNorth appoints Google exec Sunil Chandra CEO, Platform Business. OakNorth has today announced the appointment of Sunil Chandra as CEO of its next-generation credit platform to lead the growth of the business with co-founders Rishi Khosla and Joel Perlman. Sunil joined Google in 2007 and scaled the company's talent and global footprint from 7,000 employees to over 100,000 today, spanning a product portfolio that touches the lives of billions of users every day. Prior to this, he was a chief operating officer, technology, at Barclays Capital for over 2 years, after 7.5 years as director of administration, Southeast Asia and Greater China, at McKinsey & Co. A global executive, he's been responsible for scaling operations across geographies and has relocated from San Francisco to London to join OakNorth. The platform helps banks and lending institutions around the world to cater to the lower mid-market business segment, loans of $1 million $25 million, more holistically and profitably. The platform has enabled OakNorth Bank in the UK to become one of the most successful new banks in the country, lending $5 billion in the last 4 years. Sunil will lead the platform's expansion across the US, Europe, and Asia, ensuring that the business meets its commercial and strategic objectives. Rishi Khosla, co-founder of OakNorth, said, "The last decade has seen the growth of tremendous technology companies like Google, and Sunil was instrumental to that growth and indeed the broader industry. Joel and I are incredibly excited to have him join us, as we scale to meet the strong interest our platform has garnered with clients globally. His strong management experience and track record in scaling one of the world's largest tech companies will help shape OakNorth's future evolution and expansion with partner banks around the world." Sunil Chandra said, "It's an incredible privilege to be joining the team at OakNorth. In a short period of time, the business has identified a key segment of the market that is underserved, proven that thesis with the profitable OakNorth Bank in the UK, and is now scaling the solution globally by licensing its platform to other lending institutions. SMEs account for roughly half of the GDP of the world. By supporting their growth, we are not only helping them, but also their local communities who will benefit from new jobs and additional GDP. After more than 12 years at Google, I am excited about this next challenge and look forward to building the business into what will no doubt be one of the world's premier tech companies born out of Europe." Hazeltree acquires ENSO from CME Group. Hazeltree announced it has acquired ENSO Financial Analytics, ENSO, a leading provider of portfolio analytics for hedge funds and prime brokers, from CME Group for an undisclosed amount. IHS Markit participated in the investment, as well as existing investors. Hazeltree is a leading treasury management cloud-based solution provider, serving hedge funds, private markets, asset managers, fund administrators, insurance companies, pension funds and corporations, while ENSO captures data on more than $1 trillion in hedge fund assets. Through the acquisition, ENSO's prime brokerage, asset management, technology and data specialists will be integrated with Hazeltree's team, enabling them to continue to focus on customer support and product innovation. We're thrilled to join forces with the ENSO team as our combined talents in treasury, portfolio finance, data, and technology will offer unparalleled expertise and support to investment managers, empowering them with greater data insights, better transparency, improved workflows, and efficient execution to capture unrealized value, Samir Shalabi, President and Chief Executive Officer of Hazeltree, said in a press release. The acquisition will result in a truly unique integrated solution with extensive scale and talent, to support more than 200 important clients, who can now benefit from the best solutions and services available. This combination will create significant synergies for our global client base, said Paul Busby, Global Head of ENSO. Together, our teams will continue to deliver industry-leading technology to help drive continued innovation of our portfolio finance, treasury, and data solutions. The platforms and data solutions from Hazeltree and ENSO are highly complementary to our services and network of buy-side and sell-side clients, added Pierre Kemdoudi, Global Co-Head Equities Data and Analytics at IHS Markit. Our investment is a way to help align our solutions to serve the evolving needs of our customers while also establishing a foundation for potential further integration and partnerships in the future. California opens door for San Francisco Public Bank. California Governor Gavin Newsom has signed legislation allowing for the establishment of public banks in the state, and advocates in San Francisco are jumping at the opportunity. Governor Newsom signed the state's Public Banking Act last week, which, The Guardian reports, enables city and county officials to sponsor public banks, which proponents say could offer significantly lower interest rates than private institutions. State Assemblyman David Chu, co-author of the legislation, described last week's bill signing as an initiative that sends a strong message that California is putting people before Wall Street profits. Affordable housing is one of the focal points of the regulatory initiative, and advocates say creating a public bank would enable the institution to prioritize affordable financing over profits. These institutions would connect other public entities to financing, reports explained, so they can fuel various projects to support the local community. Already, efforts to establish a public bank are underway in San Francisco, where the San Francisco Public Bank Coalition is applauding the governor's decision to sign the bill into law. We want to get as much of our city's taxpayer dollars out of Wall Street so we can recapture that money and invest in our city, said the coalition's co-founder Jackie Fielder in an interview with the San Francisco Chronicle last week. Small businesses are another top focus for proponents of public banks, particularly in California's legal marijuana industry. However, as reports noted, the legislation sets out a path to create a public bank that would take years, and public support for such an initiative has been in flux largely thanks to complexity of doing so. A state-run bank could connect small businesses in the cannabis sector with legal banking and other financial services, while the future of federal legalization of marijuana and of banking the sector remains uncertain. California's legislation would allow no more than two public banks to receive a license per calendar year, and caps the total number of public banks at 10. According to reports, the nation's only public bank currently operates in North Dakota, and was established in 1919. NatWest trials UK's first biometric credit card. The first biometric fingerprint credit card issued by a UK bank begins its three-month national trial today. NatWest is piloting cutting-edge, biometric fingerprint technology with 150 customers, in partnership with MasterCard and Gemalto, a Thales company. The bank has previously piloted biometric debit cards, but this will be the first time credit cards have been issued. The biometric credit cards will offer contactless payments using fingerprint verification for transactions up to 100, an increase on the current 30 limit. As well as retaining contactless functionality, the fully integrated card can be used as normal in ATMs and for online shopping. Additionally, there are no hardware changes needed to accept biometric cards, so cardholders can use them at existing contactless and chip and PIN terminals. The card is powered through the card terminal, and when a customer presents a card, a green light on the card indicates that the fingerprint has been matched successfully. Enrollment is simple and takes as little as 5 minutes. A customer can register in the comfort of their home using a plastic sleeve. Once a digital fingerprint is locked onto a card, it cannot be changed. The user's biometric data never leaves the card, is never shared with the merchant or bank, and no fingerprints are stored in a cloud. This ensures that biometric data cannot be accessed or used outside the card. Georgina Bulkeley, Director of Innovation, NatWest said, "After the successful pilot of our biometric debit card, we are looking to test the technology further with credit cards. This is the biggest development in card technology in recent years, and not having to enter a PIN not only increases security but makes it easier for our customers when paying for goods or services." NatWest is working closely with MasterCard and digital security company Gemalto to bring the service to customers in the UK. Bob Rini, Executive Vice President, Identity Solutions, MasterCard added, "Feeling confident that your information is protected is paramount. We, along with our partners, are building biometric cards that recognize an individual rather than a password or PIN. Biometrics are more secure, more trusted, and better suited to a world that requires more frequent authentication." Howard Berg, Senior Vice President, UK, Ireland, and Switzerland of Gemalto, a Thales company, said, "Biometric have a big role in the future of payments, and we're pleased that more NatWest customers will be the first to try out this simple, convenient, and secure way to pay. Authenticating payments with a fingerprint isn't just easy, it boosts security and opens the door to larger contactless payments. We'll work very closely with NatWest as the trial progresses to address feedback from users and make sure they're getting the best experience possible." B2B fraudsters find new twists in old scam favorites. Fraud never sleeps, and the corporate finance department cannot afford to stay behind on the ever-changing strategies of fraudsters. This week's B2B fraud tracker looks at the latest cases and allegations of fraud, which show rising sophistication in fraudsters' tactics. Internal bad actors are no longer acting alone, BEC scams are no longer reliant on chance, and financial institutions face a growing trend in loan fraud. Mixing internal and external fraud. New scrutiny has hit a Pennsylvania Public Transport Authority, SEPTA, with sources telling the Philadelphia Inquirer that allegations of fraud have led to involvement by the Federal Bureau of Investigation. An FBI inquiry into the allegations is centered upon claims of fraudulent spend within SEPTA and misuse of the authority's procurement cards, a common source of internal fraud for both private and public entities. However, the case is also a unique instance of fraud stemming from both within an organization and from a third party. According to reports, there are allegations that a handful of managers within SEPTA cooperated in a fraud scheme with one of SEPTA's vendors, which is facing claims that it submitted false invoices along with legitimate bills. P cards were used to settle those fraudulent invoices, the allegations say, and the money went to those managers and the third-party vendor. The case is ongoing, reports noted, and sources told the publication that SEPTA is waiting for the FBI to finish its investigation before it decides what action to take. A new twist on the BEC scam. Separately, researchers at Agari are warning of Silent Starling, the newest cybercriminal ring using a vendor email compromise (VEC) scam to steal company cash from supply chains. According to researchers, hackers infiltrate the email accounts of employees within a B2B supplier's finance departments, including accounts receivable and procurement. After spying on email correspondence, those hackers then use that information to craft strategically timed emails requesting an invoice payment, a sophisticated iteration of the business email compromise (BEC) scam that is particularly hard to spot, Agari warned. "Our visibility into Silent Starling's operations has given us a direct and in-depth look at how the entire VEC attack chain unfolds," said Agari Cyber Intelligence Division Head and Senior Director of Threat Research Crane Hasseld in a statement. VEC is the next evolution of business email compromise. These attacks will continue to increase in frequency over the next 12 to 18 months because the financial return for scammers is very significant. Pointing to FinCEN data, Aghari warned that the average price tag of falling victim to a VEC scam is more than $125,000, significantly more than the classic BEC scam that costs an average of $50,000. Smaller lenders fall victim. Financial institutions are no stranger to loan fraud, but a new report from LexisNexis warns fraudsters are increasingly moving from consumer loans to small business loans, and smaller institutions are paying the price. In its 2019 Small and Mid-Sized Business Lending Fraud Study, LexisNexis Risk Solutions finds that the threat of small business loan fraud is on the rise, with fraudsters stealing or falsifying identities to obtain a small business loan, or applicants taking out a small business loan without intent to pay. Researchers found that smaller banks and credit unions are disproportionately impacted by this trend, too, while large banks lose an estimated 2.9% of overall revenue to lending fraud, that figure jumps as high as 5.8% for small banks. And as small business lending continues to move online, LexisNexis warned that financial institutions will continue to see this threat rise. Cyberattacks that target new small business customer account creation have increased by 35% in the last 6 months, the report said. F1 Payments makes executive hires, forms advisory board. F1 Payments, a fintech company focused on increasing business velocity for all constituents in the payments ecosystem, today announced key additions to its senior executive team and the formation of an outside advisory board. Joining the company as chief architect and technical officer is Nicholas DiGiuseppe, PhD. Benjamin Rainwater has been appointed vice president of credit and risk. Rodney Falden and Andrew Sessions have agreed to serve on the company's new board of advisors. We are strategically focused on making payments frictionless from start to finish, providing a highly personal and consultative approach, and building trusted relationships with key industry players, stated Chad Anselmo, president of F1 Payments. Adding accomplished executives like Nicholas and Benjamin to our management team, in addition to forming our advisory board with Rodney and Andy, align well with our strategy and will prove instrumental in positioning our company for continued growth, remarked Anselmo. Leading the technology charge at F1 Payments, DiGiuseppe gained strong software engineering and leadership experience working for top-tier technology companies, including Verizon, Yahoo, Google, and Adobe. He was a principal engineer in designing and building Verizon's next-generation Amazon Web Services (AWS) global electronic payments platform, handling more than 25 million transactions and generating over $1 billion in revenue annually. DiGiuseppe was also the technical lead for Verizon Media's AWS privacy dashboard technology, enabling property and third-party partners around the world to permit their customers to manage and retrieve personal data in 88 languages according to the European Union's General Data Protection Regulation, GDPR. Overseeing F1 Payments' credit and risk functions, Rainwater's payments risk acumen was expertly honed during stints at eBay, Paysafe Group, and Tag Lending. At eBay, Rainwater oversaw global buyer and seller onboarding, transitioning automated underwriting flows to accommodate full Know Your Customer (KYC) requirements. He also helped the company move from PayPal to Adyen payment processing, with eBay assuming and managing all merchant risk and liability. Rainwater was instrumental in helping Paysafe effectively balance merchant portfolio risk to maximize total processing volume, resulting in several $1 million of additional revenue. Falden, former chief executive officer and president of outdoor and sports lifestyle retailer Academy Sports Plus Outdoors, retired from the firm in 2015 after leading the company's sale to Kohlberg Kravis Roberts & Co. in 2011. During his career, Falden served in various financial and executive roles with electronic distributor NF Smith & Associates, energy company Enron, and audit and advisory firm Deloitte. Sessions has deep venture capital and investment banking experience. He is currently managing director of Intercept Ventures, a seed-stage investment firm targeting the next wave of technology leadership in the areas of cloud, data, fintech, mobility, and security. Previously, Sessions was a founding partner of Thomas Weisel Partners and served in executive roles at Montgomery Securities and Technology Crossover Ventures. UK fintech Tide raises 44 meters in funding. Tide, the leading digital business banking platform, 1, has today announced it has raised $44.1 million, $54.3 million United States dollars in a first round of Series B funding. The round was led by specialist fintech investment companies, the SBI Group and Augmentum Fintech PLC, Augmentum. Japan-based the SBI Group is one of the world's leading fintech investment companies, Augmentum 2 is one of Europe's leading fintech VCs and the UK's only listed fund specializing in fintech. The second round is expected to close by the end of the year. The additional funding will help Tide substantially increase its share of the UK business banking market, as well as to support the company's planned international expansion. Earlier this year, Tide's partner, ClearBank, secured a $60 million grant, $74 million United States dollars, from the RBS Alternative Remedies Package. Tide subsequently committed to raise an additional $60 million, $74 million United States dollars, in upcoming funding rounds. Including the BCR grant, this will take the total raised by Tide to more than $130 million, $160 million United States dollars to support its growth plans. Tide's aim is to become the number one business banking challenger and create genuine competition to the high street banks that dominate the UK business banking sector. Combined with ClearBank's world-class payments infrastructure, Tide is targeting a UK market share of at least 8% by 2023. In August 2019, Tide surpassed 100,000 members and increased its market share to 1.75%. Significant member growth has been matched by strong growth in the Tide team, which has more than doubled in size to over 250 this year, as Tide launched new products and services for its members. These include Tide Plus and Tide Capital. Tide Plus is an upgraded account giving members additional support for running their businesses, including a dedicated 24/7 legal helpline and phone helpline. In September, Tide announced the creation of Tide Capital, a subsidiary company allowing Tide to offer its own credit products to members for the first time. Oliver Prill, CEO of Tide, said, "Securing this substantial investment from successful fintech investors like the SBI Group and Augmentum underlines how far the business has come in a short time. We believe this is one of the largest Series B rounds ever secured by a UK fintech company. As we outlined earlier this year, securing more funding means we can accelerate our strategy to capture a significant share of the UK SME banking market. We want to challenge the oligopoly that has dominated and failed SMEs for too long. With a clear plan for growth in the UK backed by significant investment, we are ready for an exciting future, which includes looking at taking Tide to an international market." Yoshitaka Katao, president and CEO of the SBI Group, said, "Tide's rapid growth, alongside the quality of its products and services used by its growing army of members, is hugely exciting. For more than a decade, we have been establishing an internet-based financial ecosystem to drive growth through the aggressive use of new technology. Tide fits perfectly into that ecosystem and shares our approach to business, which is to be customer-centric and innovative to create value." Tim Levine, CEO of Augmentum Fintech, said, "Since we first invested in Tide last year, we have been impressed by how the team have delivered significant growth. Tide fits our investment criteria. It is disrupting its market by challenging incumbents, bringing efficiencies to the end customer, and is led by a talented and driven management team. We look forward to supporting Tide in its next stage of growth." Tide offers its members business banking without monthly, weekly or annual, or card usage fees. The only costs are for transfers from non-Tide accounts, ATM use and cash deposits at the post office. Unlike traditional banks, a new Tide account can be up and running in minutes rather than what can be weeks on the high street. As well as balances and payments, Tide can be fully integrated into accounting systems, and was among the first to launch with Xero's new bank feed integration. T&E finds opportunity in API-first approach. While many businesses large and small continue to rely on the legacy method of expense management, that is, requiring employees to front the bill, manually fill out expense reports, and submit spreadsheets for paper check reimbursements in the mail, fintech innovation has opened the door for significant improvements in this arena. Those opportunities have grown, too, as corporates embrace digitization, the cloud and electronic payments. According to Yash Madhusudan, Chief Executive Officer of India-based expense management firm File, there have been several waves of expense management innovation resulting in new standards for the industry. Among the most recent is the emergence of remote deposit capture, enabling employees to automatically capture receipt data by taking a picture of the document with their mobile device. What was once an innovative advancement is now a standard requirement for expense management solutions and the companies they service. In a recent interview with PYMNTS, Madhusudan, whose firm recently announced $4.5 million in funding led by US-based Steadview Capital, mused on the next phase of expense management innovation. "It's all about data," he explained. "I believe we are in an era I like call the post-mobile era," he said. "Applications that utilize data in a contextual manner to automate workflows are going to create the standard for this era. In the expense management realm, that means deploying functionality that can integrate across platforms and take an API-first strategy to product development. This kind of integration and seamless exchange of data between platforms is key to developing products that operate seamlessly and without manual intervention. This can be demonstrated in the ability for an expense management solution to integrate into existing financial platforms like accounting portals, for instance, or wielding expense management data for another third-party financial analytics and forecasting app. Commercial cards' role in data integration. While data integration and APIs support seamless functionality and sophisticated analytics of expense and spend management, there's another impact that an API-first approach can have on how corporates embrace commercial card products. According to Madhusudan, oftentimes the differentiating factor between businesses that embrace P-card products and those that don't is trust. Businesses with relatively fewer employees may feel more comfortable dishing out a company card because employees and management can have a deeper relationship with each other. But technology can augment that trust even for larger organizations. Taking an API-first approach offers the opportunity for expense management companies to collaborate and integrate directly with card issuers, for example, and not only develop ways for businesses to issue physical and virtual cards for employee spend, but also manage that spend on a digital portal. That's the strategy File is taking as it looks to enable spend and policy controls, fraud detection and spend analysis at the point of transaction, not retrospectively after spend already occurs. That functionality can only occur when an expense platform is able to integrate card data directly. With this approach, whether companies issue physical cards, virtual cards, or a mixture of the two becomes less of a differentiator in expense management than whether or not those card products can deliver valuable data and whether an expense management solution can make use of that information through a commercial card management solution. According to Madhusudan, this is what will support commercial card adoption in the enterprise in the context of T&E. "It's a very interesting space aligned with how companies manage spend," he said. "We're seeing different version of how corporate cards, when they're managed well, multiple people win. Mixing data with human behavior. Spend data can introduce new opportunities in expense management, particularly when analytics tools like artificial intelligence (AI) enter the fold." Madhusudan pointed to fraud, anomaly and out-of-policy detection as important areas in which AI can be useful. Data integrations can also be deployed to enrich the expense management experience for the employee themselves. Madhusudan said File is exploring integrations with a range of enterprise apps already deployed, including employees' digital calendars and email accounts. Smartphones and email, the two pillars of booking and managing a business trip, are troves of important information that can augment the holistic experience of the business trip, from booking to payment and expense analysis. What's important about this trajectory of expense management is its reliance not only on the technology of data integration and analysis, but also on the user experience. Integrations that use travel booking data can support an employee's seamless management of a business trip. Data analytics technologies can alert an employee that the purchase they are about to make is out of company policy. A single-use virtual card can mitigate the risk of fraud without forcing an employee to change their spend behavior. It is imperative that expense management technology and all enterprise tools, for that matter, don't just focus on functionality, but on adoption, said Madhusudan. Unless that technology is adopted really quickly, it never results in a positive ROI, he said. We have to build in a manner that is extremely empathetic to users, specific to users in the right context. The process should not make it more difficult than it already is. NAV CEO, the state of SMB financing, a glimpse at its future. Among the biggest challenges small and medium-sized businesses (SMBs) tackle in good times and not so good times, economically speaking, is cash flow. As fundamental as revenue is, it doesn't just matter how much an SMB brings in, but how much access it has to those funds when it needs them. Needs, NAV CEO Levi King told Karen Webster in a recent conversation, often come in two flavors for the typical small business owner. When things are going well for an SMB, managing cash flow is usually oriented around growth and being able to capitalize on opportunities to expand. When things aren't going so well, managing cash flow is usually more about surviving to profit another day, and keeping the lights on and payroll covered. The mostly good news as 2019 heads into its final quarter is that things look reasonably good. NAV certainly has data on that subject as it is a business financing marketplace for SMBs that leverages AI and machine learning to offer recommendations to its roughly 1 million US SMB customers on possible financing paths, as well as advice on how to improve their overall financial positions. What they are seeing now, he noted, is that the ratio is stable between businesses looking for access to capital because they want to grow versus those looking because they need to solve problems. There are more financing options for SMBs that need it than there have ever been. However, while many of the systemic issues that plagued the segment, particularly around underwriting and access to capital in the early part of the 2010s, have been greatly remediated, things could still be better. There are many credit options out there, but many are still quite expensive. About half the companies NAV works with have started using the data and recommendations the company provides to improve their credit rating, King noted, but the other half haven't, even though many keep resolving to get to it any day now. Possibly most concerning, businesses are doing as well as they did during the last period of economic strength, not any better, and that means it is not clear how ready they are for when an economic downturn inevitably comes. The economy is still going pretty well, but I am nervous for SMBs, for what happens when things start not going so well, because I don't know if the economy has really been made great again for small business. And I don't think any of them are in any great shape for a downturn, King said. There is hope on the horizon, though, in the form of better products aimed at subprime, near-prime and thin-file SMB borrowers. The marketplace owes small businesses better products, he noted, and it is starting to see interesting possibilities for building them. The problem and potential storm cloud is the risk of that economic downturn that will certainly show up someday, and whether financial services or fintech will be ready to help SMBs weather the storm. The value of getting ahead of the data. NAV's platform, King explained, can do things for its business partners primarily one present-oriented, one future-oriented. In the present, it can help them match up with the financing option that is best for them, i.e. use its analytics to model the business against what the lowest cost, most accessible options are for them. The more future-oriented service NAV offers is to leverage the fact that the company has gotten pretty darn good at predicting when cash flow issues are on the horizon, and making recommendations to their SMB partners to take action before they arise. The old joke is that the best lenders lend money to people who don't need any, and we've gotten good at seeing that things are strong now. But a dip is probably, in, 4 months, so now is a good time to get a line of credit, because it is easier and less expensive to get credit when you don't need it, King said. The half of NAV's customers that act on those future-oriented insights aren't interested in their data, or interested in acting on it, and don't consistently report that they are going to start any day now. The limiter, he noted, isn't interest, but time, and the fact that the average small business owner doesn't have any. Key reality, though, is that it is time they need to make, because being a subprime borrower in the world of SMB financing is much like being a subprime borrower in the consumer space, expensive. The interest rates will be bigger, processor discounts will be higher. The reality is that the service provider that looks at credit data is going to charge more for a lackluster profile. If you are in a 10% margin business, being in the prime category might be the difference of having a margin of 12 or 15%, he said. The credit cost is the issue that often means the difference between being a business that is treading water and staying open, and one that is thriving and expanding. The ones that really get on top of their data, they aren't about surviving anymore, they are about getting ahead. As economic uncertainty may yet loom on the horizon, King noted, businesses getting ahead will likely survive. Those just treading water? They could easily drown. What comes next? While no one can say exactly when the economic downturn is coming, and there are no certain indicators in NAV's data that necessarily sees one coming, logic and the entire history of the market says that a slowdown is coming for the economy someday. That is slightly worrying for SMBs, particularly those struggling with cash flow in good times, because so much becomes uncertain in the face of a weak economy. Take, for example, the proliferation of fintech firms wading into the world of SMB underwriting. Square, Stripe and PayPal are just the three of the biggest names that spring to mind. The emergence of financing from those sources, King said, is an exciting development for SMBs, because it allows businesses that might otherwise be classified as subprime to get access to relatively low-cost financing, since those service providers actually have a good idea of what an SMB's monthly revenue flow is, and can evaluate its risk with a richer data set. The problem is that it remains to be seen if these fintech service providers that have recently expanded into underwriting will have the same appetite for it in the event of an economic downturn. The recent past has plenty of examples of firms that expanded into credit products when times were good, only to quickly quit the field when economic conditions softened. I wonder how committed these tech companies will be to a lending business in a downturn. There might be some brand risk to them if they start tightening standards on customers they have worked with, if they suddenly can no longer get financing they are used to. This financing can really be a much better deal for businesses, but the possibility of a downturn still makes me nervous for its future, King said. The other big known unknown in the lives of SMBs and a strong argument for getting ahead of one's data today while things are still stable economically are the various fintech lenders that have grown into the SMB lending space in the years since the Great Recession. These firms are an important part of the expanded option set SMBs now have when it comes to securing underwriting in various forms. What most of them have in common is that they too have never faced an economic slowdown. The question that no one has an answer to right now is if they are ready, as they say they are, for that inevitable event. It is a real question of how they are going to get through a potential storm when they are not profitable or barely profitable today when times are good, said King. This concludes our edition for today. We want to thank again Paycademy, the first business school to learn payments and fintech, for their support. You can find more information on their website at paycademy.com. We hope you enjoyed it and see you tomorrow for our next edition.